Happy Resurrection Day. I don't call it Easter. It's not about a bunny. It's about a lamb. And no bunny loves you like Jesus. One more announcement. Ryan forgot he asked me to let the youth know that you're staying in here. Andrew's group, you're going to stay in here for the service. So. And if you need a Bible, slip your hand up. We love to give out Bibles here so you can follow along. We go chapter by chapter, verse by verse through all of God's Word. This morning we're in Luke chapter 24. Why do you seek the living among the dead? You'll see what that means in a moment. Anybody notice a full moon recently? That's another sign from God. A full moon in the spring determines when Passover is. And it's not by coincidence. Why? Because we celebrate the Passover and God's Passover Lamb, Jesus Christ. The Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. I don't know everybody in this room. I don't know all about everybody, but I can tell you one thing about every single person in this room and outside of this room. Jesus Christ died for your sins. That's why he came. That's why God sent his son into this world to die a brutal death on the cross for our sins. But in order for it to be a free gift, which salvation is, a gift must be received. And so I would hope this morning, by the time we leave this place, that every person has received Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. We are closer than ever to the return of Jesus Christ. We have a shofar behind me. And it's not a religious thing, it's a reminder. The trump of God is about to sound. Do you know that? And when the trump of God sounds, the dead in Christ shall rise, and those of us who are alive will be caught up, harpazo, raptured, to meet the Lord in the air. And if you don't think we're close, you need to read the Jerusalem Post and the Arud Sheva newspaper, Israel's newspapers, because they are getting ready for war in Israel right now. And it's pretty evident with what's going on. We know the rest of the story. And so that's why I think it's so important when we gather together as the church. This building's not the church. Behold, the church. That we get into God's Word and we are reminded of what God's Word says about what's taking place in our world as well as in our lives. And so this morning, in Luke 24, we're going to read the Gospel of Luke, who according to Colossians 4:14 was known as the beloved physician. He was a doctor. And one thing, one of the many things I love about God's Word, he eliminates any excuse for not believing in his Word. And I'll share a little bit more on that in a moment. But let's first of all open our hearts and then we'll open our Bibles to Luke chapter 24 this morning. Father, thank you for your Son, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who came to take away the sins of the world. I pray, Lord, this morning that this would not just be a religious service, doing our religious duty, but, Lord, that this would be a life-changing experience for us all. For those that don't know you, that they would come to know you. For those that do know you, we would be reminded of the incredible promises that you've given us in your precious word, which is truth, and which is God-breathed, given by the person of the Holy Spirit. And so this morning, with open Bibles and open hearts and open ears, those of us here in this room, as well as those watching on YouTube, I pray that you, the Good Shepherd, would feed your sheep. In Jesus' name, amen. Why do you seek the living among the dead? That's a great title, I believe, because it's right out of our chapter here this morning. And a little bit of an introduction. I always like to do that to lay the groundwork to where we are. Last Wednesday, midweek, the week which many people call the Holy Week, in Dr. Luke's account, we did chapter 22. where the religious leaders had asked Jesus, "Are you the Christ? Are you the Messiah? Are you the Son of God?" And you know what? Because of Jesus' response, which is who he is, the religious leaders sought to put him to death. Jesus' final response was, "You rightly say that I am." And it's not by coincidence that he uses those two words, "I am." Because "I am" refers to God. "I am that I am." And Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the second part of the Trinity. That was all they needed to hear, these religious leaders. How sad is that, folks? That the religious leaders did not know their Messiah when he showed up. And they immediately accused Jesus of blasphemy, which according to Leviticus chapter 24, 16, was punishable by being stoned to death. They wanted to stone Jesus Christ, put him to death because he told them who he was. Now you would think that the religious leaders would be doing backflips at this time. The Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, standing right in front of their religious noses, and they didn't even know who he was. And the words that Jesus had just spoken were not blasphemous, they were the truth. Because Jesus is the truth, the way, the truth, the life, the only name under heaven by which we must be saved. God makes it very simple, doesn't he? There they were, the high priests, the scribes, religious leaders, with the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, standing right in front of them, and they had no idea who he really was, even when he told them. And so in Luke chapter 23 on Wednesday night, which is Thursday, the day before Jesus is crucified, Dr. Luke writes what took place at that time. And here's one thing I want to make a point of as we begin this morning. Chapter 1, verse 3 says that Dr. Luke, this physician, this beloved physician, is giving an orderly account of what took place. It is extremely important for physicians to be accurate, isn't there? Isn't it? Wouldn't it be sad to go to a doctor that really didn't care what he wrote down? That's pretty scary. But Dr. Luke gives an orderly account about what's going on. Jesus was led away, we saw in chapter 23, to Pontius Pilate, who was the governor of Rome, which is quite interesting, and I'll tell you why. Because Israel was at the time governed by Rome, and because they were governed by Rome, they could not enforce capital punishment. So in order for Jesus to be put to death, they had to go to the Roman government and lie. And the lie was, as Jesus had come to take over Caesar's rule, which is a lie. The Jews could not exercise capital punishment, so they go to the Romans. And guess what? And it's not by coincidence, is it? The Romans put people to death by crucifixion. And again, isn't that nothing short of miraculous that hundreds of years prior to this taking place, God told us exactly how his son would die for the sins of the world? I love my Jewish friends upstairs, and I love to sprinkle a little bit of the word when I go in there. And just this last week, they said, "Happy Easter." I go, "I don't do Easter." "What?" I said, "Ashtar is the goddess, pagan goddess of fertility." I said, "I celebrate your Messiah. And if you want to see what happened to him 750 years before he came, Psalm 22 gives us a blow-by-blow description of the crucifixion." That's how accurate God's word is. That's nothing short of incredible. I got goosebumps under my sport coat here this morning just thinking about it. So little did the Jewish religious leaders know, but they were actually fulfilling prophecy. And that's, again, not by coincidence, as God has everything under his control. And I want to encourage you here this morning. God, no matter what you're going through, has everything under control. Do you know that? Do you believe that with all of your heart? No matter what the world's going through, no matter what America's going through, no matter what you're going through, God has everything under his divine control. When Jesus came before Pilate, Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And here's pagan Pilate asking Jesus if he was the Messiah. And guess what? Jesus even told pagan Pilate, it is as you say. Amazing. And Pilate's response to the religious leaders, and they should have listened up, he says, I find no fault in this man, which is true. You can never, ever, ever find fault in Jesus Christ. He's the perfect Son of God, the Savior of the world, the second part of the Trinity. And Pilate's response to the religious leaders, I find no fault in this man. And by the way, if you read in the other Gospels, the night before, Pilate's wife had a dream. And she came to him in fear and trembling and said, this man is innocent. But he still doesn't listen to his wife. Lesson number one, guys. Listen to your wives. Wow, listen to all those ladies going amen here this morning. I bet there's some elbows going too here. Huh? And so Pilate found that Jesus was a Galilean, and guess what he does next? Passes the buck, if you would. And so he sends Jesus to Herod, who was the one who oversaw Galilee. And Herod was excited to see Jesus for the wrong reasons. He'd heard many things about Jesus. He hoped to see a miracle from Jesus. Yet when Herod spoke to Jesus, this is interesting, Jesus answered him nothing. Wow. He was silent because he knew what Herod's motive was. And so what does Herod do? He sends Jesus back to Pilate. And again, Pilate, after examining Jesus, said, I find no fault in him, and neither did Herod. Neither one of these pagan leaders could find fault in Jesus Christ. But yet, isn't this interesting, that the religious leaders thought that they had found fault in him. And Pilate sought to release him, yet all the while, and this is amazing as well, if you were here last Sunday, which was, religiously called Palm Sunday. We know why they called it Palm Sunday. Because when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a colt of a donkey, which, by the way, is a fulfillment of prophecy as well, Zechariah 9:9, they threw their clothes and palm branches on the road, and they shouted, Hosanna! Hosanna! Which means save now. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You know what's really sad? We're going to see in that supposed Holy Week, how those same people will be now shouting, crucify, crucify. We will not have this man rule over us. Let his blood be on our heads and upon our children. How sad. Crazy. Yet Pilate, even though he found no fault in Jesus, guess what he does? Even after what his wife told him, he delivered Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Messiah, up to be punished and had him scourged. And a crown of thorns, which you see behind me, thrust down upon his head. And in those days, when they scourged somebody, they would take a cat of nine tails with pieces of stone or metal in it, and they would see, the soldiers would see how much flesh they could remove from the person's back. And by the time they were finished with Jesus, all of his vital organs on his back were exposed. He was beaten and marred more than any man, Scripture tells us. He was beaten beyond recognition. Think about this. He did that for you and for me. He willingly and lovingly took our punishment upon himself. And then being nailed to the cross. We saw last week also, I'm still in my introduction, Dr. Luke had wrote that Jesus Christ was crucified between two thieves. And Dr. Luke writes that one of the thieves was blaspheming the Lord and the other actually stood up for Jesus. And he said, we deserve to be crucified, whereas this man has done nothing. And guess what? The very next words out of his lips determined his eternal destiny. He said, Lord, remember me. What does the Bible say? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And guess what Jesus' response was? I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Don't you love those words? That's a promise to you and I. We might be in paradise today, or tomorrow, next week, next month. Who knows? No man knows the day or the hour, but the all-important thing, my friend, is to be ready for the return of the Lord. And just before the rapture of the church, Paul in Thessalonians writes about purifying our lives and being ready for the Lord's return. And he can come at any second, any moment, because everything is lined up prophetically from God's holy word, and the next event to take place is the rapture of the church. Are you ready? If the trump of God would sound right now, would you be ready to go to heaven? Or would you be coming up to the podium here and looking at the rest of my notes so you can see what the rest of the sermon was? I hope not. I hope if the trump of God would sound that this place would be completely empty. Sadly, the beloved physician, Dr. Luke, in his orderly account, now becomes the beloved coroner. Yeah. As a doctor in those days, they were also the coroner. As we saw last Wednesday night, it was about the sixth hour. Darkness was over the earth until the ninth hour. The veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. And it was then that Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And Dr. Luke records that Jesus Christ breathed his last. And like I said, this is an orderly account. Jesus Christ was dead. Doesn't that shock you? That shocks me. And I don't know how many years I've taught this section of Scripture, but when I read that Jesus was dead, that blows me away. Why? Because if you read the Bible, Jesus Christ was part of creating the heavens and the earth. And Jesus Christ was there when God said, "Let us make man in our image." Unbelievable. You read Colossians. The lady study, by the way, is now in Colossians. It says that all things were created of him, by him, through him. And that includes you and I. Jesus is dead. Man. And all three of the other gospels confirm this. Jesus Christ is dead. I couldn't imagine what it would be like to be there at that time when Jesus was crucified, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and to know that he was dead and he was put in a tomb. One year when I did this section of Scripture, my title of the message is, "When a Tomb Becomes a Timeshare." We're going to see what that means here in a moment. Why? Because Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. He's alive. And he's coming back for his bride, as we sang a moment ago, very, very soon. This is really hard to believe, though, in the meantime, that the Son of God, the Son throughout all eternity with the Father, is dead. Second part of the Godhead, dead. Old and New Testament confirm who he is, and that all things were created of him and by him and through him. He's dead. Again, Friday passes, Saturday passes. What must it have been like for the people that loved Jesus, for his family, for Mary Magdalene, for all of those disciples and all? What must it have been like for them to know that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, is dead? And so here, this morning, finally, after my introduction, verse 1 of chapter 24 tells us that it's now Sunday, the first day of the week. Look at what verse 1 says. So let's see what the beloved physician, the beloved coroner, writes now in his orderly account. Now, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. They thought his body was still in the tomb. Jesus had told them all, the disciples and many others in his teaching. He told the women on the third day that he would rise again. And here they come on the third day, on Sunday, the first day of the week, with spices so they can anoint his body. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in, these are incredible words, and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Like I said, the tomb had become a timeshare. No longer there. He's alive. Jesus Christ paid the price in full. He said tetelestai on the cross, which means it is finished. What does finished mean? It means paid in full. It means no balance due. It means no purgatory. 100% paid in full, all of your sins, past, present, future. And what we need to do is put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and thank him for saving our souls from hell by his atoning death on the cross. Straight up. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Angels. Deuteronomy 19:15 tells us that by two witnesses a matter shall be confirmed. We have two witnesses here, plus all of the other ladies that are witnesses that the tomb is empty, there's nobody home. Deuteronomy 19:15, by two or three witnesses a matter shall be confirmed. Then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, gee, this is an interesting statement. Maybe we'll make it the title of the message here this morning. Why do you seek the living among the dead? So true. It was interesting what Ryan shared this morning in his announcements, Buddha being dead and all these others being dead. But you know what? They're not really in the grave, my friend. Judgment. Two places that people, everybody will end up, either heaven or the lake of fire. Smoking or non-smoking, your choice. Heaven or hell. And it's all a choice. It's got nothing to do with you being predestined, but it's all about you using your free will. God has given us a free will and a free won't. And it's up to you whether you will receive the forgiveness and the death and the burial of Jesus Christ for your sins, or whether you will say, I'm good. I'm a good person. Well, you need to read your Bible then, because the Bible clearly says there's none good, no, not one. How many is that? None. The only good person that ever walked this planet was nailed to a cross for you and I, because none of us are good. Why do you seek the living among the dead? I love this. This is why we're here this morning. He's not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was in Galilee? He's risen. Confirmation. Two angels from heaven confirming that, yes, he is risen. He's not here. He's risen. Saying the Son of Man, which is a term for the Messiah, must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and crucified, and on the third day rise again. Wow. Here's the amazing thing. Many times we read in the Gospels, in Jesus' messages, he told them exactly what was going to take place. And it was like it went in one ear and out the other. And unfortunately, that can happen in churches today. When the word goes forth, we need to be attentive. We need to listen up to what God has to say. Every word is truth. That's why I don't scream the gospel. God has not made me a screecher, but a preacher. Why? Because God's word does not return void. It does not need my help. All I need to do is just deliver the mail, and you've heard me share this before. I'm just the mailman. Poor mailmen out there, men and women, have to deliver bad news and some good news, but I get to deliver the good news. Every time I share God's word, it's the good news. Yeah, God's plan of salvation. Notice. And on the third day, rise again. And Jesus told his disciples that how many times? Over and over and over and over. And you know what they did most of the time? They didn't listen to what he said. There's one instance where they were arguing right after he said he was going to be nailed to a cross and crucified and third day rise again. And they're arguing who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Hello? They probably had their cameras on taking selfies. You know? Jesus said, deny your selfie daily and pick up your cross and follow me. Oh boy, don't hit the doors yet, you know. But let's face it, my biggest problem's me. Temptation, the world, the flesh, the devil. That's true with all of us. And if we deny ourselves daily, pick up our cross and follow him, it's death to the old sinful nature and walking in the newness of life. He that's in Christ is a new creation. All of the old things are passed away. Thank you, Jesus. And all things become new, brand new. You're a new creation if you believe in Jesus Christ. And sometimes we miss out on his greatest blessings because we let the old man resurrect. Leave him in the grave. Someone want to grab their phone? That's all right. As long as you're not taking a selfie, we're good. Then they returned, verse 9, from the tomb and told all these things to the 11. We know that Judas betrayed him. And to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. Look who heads the list of women. Mary Magdalene, whom Jesus cast demons out of, set her free. And she was at the cross when he was crucified, and she's at the tomb, one of the first at the tomb, with the spices and all to anoint his body. But praise be to God, those spices went to waste. Hallelujah. And their words seemed to them, the apostles, like idle tales. How sad. You know what the original language is on idle tales is? Nonsense. To them it was nonsense that the tomb was empty. How sad. But you know what? And I'll be straight up with you today. Nonsense is more common than common sense today. People would much rather believe a lie than they would the truth. Fake news, half-truths, lies. We need to put our faith and trust in every single word in God's precious scriptures because every word is truth. Seemed like idle tales, and they did not believe them. Guess who's the first one to get up and go? Peter, for Pete's sake. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb. There's you talk about the apostolic pride. In John's gospel, John mentions that he beat Peter there in a foot race. And Peter stooped down, and he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. And here's another fallacy I want to disprove, okay? He was covered with a linen garment and he had a napkin over his face, which is proof from Scripture that there is no shroud of Turin that people go and worship, how sad, that has his resemblance. No. He had a handkerchief over his face. Notice. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Now behold, two of them were traveling the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned, guess who shows up? Look at this. That Jesus himself drew near and went with them. You know what I find even to this very day? When we talk about Jesus, he shows up. When we want to be a light and salt for Jesus in this world, he shows up. through the power of the Holy Spirit, and he gives us the words to share. But here they are coming from Emmaus after this long walk, and I'm sure they're bummed because he's going to ask them, why are you so sad? Notice, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Again, doesn't the Lord blow your mind? There he had been beaten and nailed to a cross, marred more than any man. He rose from the grave. He's walking along with these two men. And he's saying, why are you so sad? Why? Because they had no idea that he had risen from the dead. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? That just cracks me up. If anybody knew what happened, I think it might have been Jesus. And he said to them, what things? Now, it's not that he didn't know. He's just trying to draw out of them what took place. What things? And so they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. How sad. Look what they called him, just a prophet. How sad that Jesus, they said, was from Nazareth. If they'd have known what Scripture said, they would have known that the bread of life, Jesus Christ, was born in the house of bread, Bethlehem. And they would have known that he was more than a prophet, the Son of God. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. Again, the real truth of the matter is Jesus Christ came to deliver us. The religious men, in delivering Jesus over to be crucified, actually were fulfilling God's prophecy so that we could be delivered, set free from sin and death. But we were hoping, gosh, guys, why weren't you praying? That it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is, the third day since these things happened. Gee, the third day. What a coincidence, huh? No. Fulfillment of prophecy. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. Praise be to God. They came saying that they had also seen visions of angels, a vision of angels, who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. How much proof do they need? Notice. Then he said to them, oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. And again, they had all of the Old Testament prophecies, just like we do. And yet they, as we see here, they're foolish, slow to heart, slow to believe. Do you know that when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a colt of a donkey, at that point, he had fulfilled over 320 Old Testament prophecies. But yet they're still foolish and slow to believe. Amazing, isn't it? Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? I would have said, haven't you ever read Psalm 22? Zechariah 9:9? I mean, prophecy after prophecy after prophecy. I love this. Can you imagine? I mean, put yourself in their sandals. And beginning at Moses, which is the Pentateuch, the Torah, the five books of Moses, and all the prophets, guess what Jesus does? He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Can you imagine? I wish I had the CDs on his teaching. Jesus Christ, The Son of God, the Word of God who became flesh and dwelt among us, has now given them a Bible study that's beyond any Bible study you'll ever hear. From the book of Moses, from all the prophets. Man. But yet, they were foolish and slow of heart. That's why we are so adamant in this fellowship about going through God's Word chapter by chapter, verse by verse, precept upon precept. And it's up to us what we do with what we hear. Your word, O Lord, have I hidden in my heart, that I do not sin against you. And what we need to do when we hear the word of God is to hide it in our heart, to meditate upon it, and to walk it out. That's why this book is wrapped in shoe leather, so that we can walk it out. It's so important not just to be hearers of your word, of his word, but to be doers of God's word. Thousands of years before Nike came out with that saying, just do it, the Bible said it. We need to just do it, folks. Walk it out. Man, notice. I lost my place here. What number? 28. Okay, moving right along here. I believe my brain got raptured before my body. Then they drew near to the village where they were going. And he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us. And they still don't know who he is. Abide with us. Let's hang out. It's towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he, Jesus, went in to stay with them. I love this too. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Let me give you a physical example of a spiritual truth. If I had bread here and I broke it, what would happen if I went to hand it to you? Hello? What do you suppose they saw when he handed the bread to them? The nail prints. Yeah, watch this. Amazing. And their eyes were opened. And they knew him. And guess what? He vanished from their sight. Wow. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? We're not talking about heartburn here. We're not talking about acid indigestion here. They had burning hearts from the Word of God. Doesn't God's Word at times just burn our hearts? It's amazing what he tells us in his word. When we have open Bibles and open hearts, it is amazing how God burns our hearts within us as he opens the scriptures to us. And I've shared many times before I came to know the Lord, I was in dire straits. I'm not going to get into the details. But I had a Bible in my pocket in Vietnam that they had given every one of us when we arrived. And I opened it up and tried to read it. I couldn't understand one word of it, and I'll tell you why. Because I didn't know the author. He who has the Son has the Father. He who does not have the Son does not have the Father. The Bible clearly says. And in order to know the author of this book and to even pray, our Father who art in heaven, we need to know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior. And it's when we come to know him that our heart burns for the word and the scriptures are open to us. Our eyes are opened. Guess what? Look at the next verse. So they rose up that very hour after he left and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. We need to hold on to those words today, those precious words that I have highlighted in blue and star circled the whole thing. The Lord is risen indeed. Do you believe that? Why do we allow other things to creep in? The two greatest holidays in the history of this planet are the birth of Christ and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And look what the enemy has done to cloud out the true meaning of those two holy days. And guess what? Dr. Luke, the beloved physician, he records the virgin birth as a doctor. Yeah. He records the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ as a doctor. I wonder how many doctors today believe in the virgin birth and believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Dr. Luke, and God again gives him the opportunity to share this account to us and to the whole world for centuries now of these things that took place in this orderly account. Saying, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. Oftentimes when I go upstairs, I'll see Benny, fellow believer, or someone else that works there, and I'll say, Shalomi, homie. I don't say that to my Hebrew friends, but I do say Shabbat Shalom when it's Friday. And I do wish them a happy Passover or whatever. Just wait for God to open the door. And here Jesus shows up and says, peace to you. Do you have peace in your life today? It is amazing how God the Son, Jesus Christ, because of his resurrection, because he is risen indeed, he takes lives that were in pieces and he gives us peace. Shalomi homie. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he had said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you now see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. I've often wondered when I get to heaven, what it's going to be like. When Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant, which he's going to say to all of us who believe, and he wraps his ever-loving arms around us to see the nail prints. Because the only scars, and there's a, I think, who is it, Casting Crowns or somebody, sings a song, the only scars in heaven will be on the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. Wow. And to have him wrap his ever-loving arms around us and to say, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into my rest. And I guarantee you, none of us really feel worthy of being Christians, and none of us really feel worthy about him saying to us, well done, good and faithful servant. In all honesty, those two words should be for me burning in hell. Well done. Like I cook my steak sometimes. None of us are worthy of well done. And it's going to just blow us away when we get there. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Because none of us really feel as we're 100% faithful all the time. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? And so they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb. And he took it and ate it in their presence. People often wonder, are we going to eat when we get to heaven? You know what I tell them? What do you think a wedding supper is of the Lamb? What's it going to be like? We're going to have real angel food cake. No devil's food cake. Not one deviled egg in heaven. Praise God. No more death, no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more grief. All those things are going to be wiped out forever and ever and ever. Why? Because he is risen indeed, my friend. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. He's talking about Isaiah, Jeremiah, Zechariah, talking about the Psalms. He's talking about the law of Moses. The law of Moses, there's a lot of prophecy there. It's been a few years now, but when I had a real great relationship with the old rabbi, they asked me to speak at their Passover. And guess what I spoke on? Genesis 22, I believe it is. Abraham, take your son, your only son, up to Mount Moriah, which is a foreshadow of God's only son going up and being sacrificed for the sins of the world. That was so cool. Gentile Joe here with a bunch of Jewish people at the Jewish Federation sharing prophecy with our precious Jewish friends upstairs. Right out of the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. Concerning me, he says. Now, look at this. I love this. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Wow. I learned years ago, before I open up my Bible, I need to ask the Lord to open up my heart, my mind, my soul to him so nothing would hinder. Get rid of all the sin in my life, whatever it might be, Lord, that nothing would hinder, that you would open up my understanding to your precious word. It's always good to pray before you read so you can comprehend the Holy Scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. And guess what? Again, when you preach God's word, when you give people the truth of God's word, how can you avoid those sections that talk about repentance, remission of sins, God's Son, the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior of the world? And I think it's so important. If we really want to see any sort of a change in America today, we need to go back. We need to return to our first love. On our currency, it says one nation under God. But how sad it is, I think right now we're one nation going under. It's because there's a Trojan horse that's entered into America. And look how we're being destroyed from within. Look what just fentanyl has done to our nation. I have a picture on my cell phone of how much fentanyl it takes to kill you. And guess what? It's on the tip of a lead pencil. And that stuff is so prevalent here in America. It's crazy what's happening to our youth today. I'm not going to lay out a list of things that are destroying us, but you can see, can't you, what's going on. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Notice, and you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And as we read in the book of Acts, which was written by Dr. Luke as well, that as they were gathered together in the upper room, the person, notice I said person, the third part of the Trinity, the person of the Holy Spirit came upon them. And again, that's one of the most incredible things that can ever happen to us here today, is to be filled with the person of the Holy Spirit. And when you repent of your sins and give your life to Jesus Christ and open up your heart, the person of the Holy Spirit comes in and seals you for the day of redemption. And all of a sudden the light goes on. You don't know what to expect when you give your life to the Lord, but I'll tell you what, man, when you do, it just blows you away, the things that take place. And you've heard my testimony many times. I'm not going to bore you with those here today. But we are sealed with the person of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean you're going to speak in tongues, because the Bible says all will not speak in tongues. But the greatest evidence of you and I being born again and filled with the Holy Spirit is this four-letter word called love, agape love. And the greatest commandment of all, Jesus Christ says, is that we are to love one another as Christ loved the church. How's your love life? I'm talking agape love. How's your love life? Do you love one another? Do you love your neighbor? Do you love your enemy? God makes it very clear how we're to love one another and how we're to forgive. Like the little sign in the back there, 70 times 7. Peter said, how often, Lord, if someone sins against me, should I forgive them 7 times? Some of us have a hard time forgiving somebody once. And Jesus said to Peter, not seven, Peter, but 70 times seven, meaning don't keep track. If you're sitting here and you got 489 times counted for someone that sinned against you, you got a problem. And many times I ask people, do you know what follows the Lord's Prayer? I guarantee you almost, if not everybody in this room, can quote the Lord's Prayer, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed. Do you know what follows the Lord's Prayer? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others, is what it says in the Lord's Prayer. And following the Lord's Prayer, the Lord says, if you forgive others, I will forgive you. If you don't forgive others, I won't forgive you. And that's not Joe's words. Those are red letters in the Sermon on the Mount. If you forgive others, he says, I'll forgive you. If you don't forgive others, I won't forgive you. And many times people say, Pastor Joe, you don't know what they did to me. I said, no, but I know what we did to Jesus Christ. Forgiveness is the best thing that we can ever, ever do, because it frees us up. Last section. Wow, I'm right on time here this morning. Notice, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. What must that have been like? And again, Dr. Luke writes in the book of Acts, chapter 1, two angels standing there said, why are you gazing up into heaven? He who has ascended into heaven is going to come back the same way. And guess what? Guess who's going to come with him? We are, after the wedding supper of the Lamb. Amazing, huh? We're going to come on horses. Whew, what's that going to be like? And they worshiped him, verse 52, and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. You know what? When you know Jesus, when you worship him, there is great joy, isn't there? No matter what's going on in your life. And we're continually in the temple. Gee, what a coincidence. Here we are this morning in a temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Why? Because we know the true meaning of Resurrection Day. That's why we're here this morning. The worship was wonderful, praising and worshiping God. And I would hope that you would spend not only the rest of the day praising and worshiping God, but the rest of your life in doing so. As we close, as we usually do, we're going to offer up to you the greatest gift that any person could ever receive, and that's salvation through Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who is risen, the Savior of the world. He loves you, gave his life for you, but it's up to you what you do with him. The Bible very clearly says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and God the Father has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so as we close, if you would like to pray to receive Jesus and be saved, I'd like you to stand quickly as we close. Jesus hung on a cross for you. We should be able to stand publicly for him, anyone, as we close. Today is the day of salvation. Okay, go out and let your light shine on this Resurrection Day. Let Jesus shine through you. Why? Because many are celebrating Easter and they're just a basket case. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for these precious people of yours. My brothers and sisters in Christ that I get to spend eternity in heaven with. What a joy. In the meantime, we have work to do. May our light so shine before men that they would see Jesus Christ in our lives and glorify our Father in heaven. We love you, Lord. Thank you for this glorious day, which we can celebrate every day, not just once a year, but every day that ends in Y. And so, Lord, thank you for everybody here. Bless them and their families, and give them a great day and joy and celebration and thanksgiving to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One last thing. If you would like, you're welcome to take a lily with you. Anyone here? You know, we've got two up here and we've got about 10 down below.